The scripture reading for today is taken from Matthew chapter 13. I'll be reading from verses 44 to 46, followed by 51 to 52. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Verse 51. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. This is the word of God. Good morning, everyone. My name is Wen Song, and I'm a pastor here in Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. I would like to especially welcome our BB boys from the 27 Koi, who are here with us this morning, and they'll be joining us for the next 2 months for their church life program. Welcome, boys. I'm quite sure later we'll welcome you again. As the year begins, our church is continuing on a sermon series from the Gospel of Matthew. And the theme of this series is Living with the End in Mind. Last week, Reverend Jordan brought us through the parable of the wheat and weeds and exhorted us to live as wheat among the weeds. He reminded us from the words of Jesus that God is the one who allows evil to coexist with good for now, and that he will judge in the last days when he comes to separate the wheat and the weeds. Meanwhile, we are not to play judge, but earnestly bring the good news of Jesus and this gospel to the world so that they might become wheat and not die as weeds when God judged the world. Today, we will continue from the parables and learn together from three of Jesus' shorter parables. Today, we will learn about the treasure, and I would like to propose that you deem whatever that you deem treasure is what you set your heart and lay down your investments on. Rightly put from Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus says, "For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also." So we will study from the last few parables in Matthew chapter 13 to better understand, number one, what the treasure is and why it is so valuable, who gets this treasure, and what are we to do with the treasure after we get it. Before I begin, let us pray. Lord, you spoke in parables because you know that among your listeners there were those whose hearts were hardened. They were stubborn to accept the truths about what you teach. We pray this day that your Spirit soften our hearts and let our hearts be good soil. Plant your word deep in us that it may take root in our lives and bear fruit in its due season. Open our ears and our hearts to hear from you this day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm at point number one. What is the treasure? Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In the first parable, we are told that the treasure is hidden in the field. Why is the treasure hidden in the field? While it might sound very strange for us today, it was actually a common practice for people in Jesus' day to hide their treasure, typically in jar clays, where they put their coin and bury it under the earth, in their land. It is just like how we keep our money safely in the bank. People back then placed their money safely in the ground. preferably underneath their own property, because that's the safest place that they know they can keep their money. Another reason why this man could stumble upon this treasure that is on the field was likely because it was someone else's treasure, someone else's inheritance, possibly from someone who passed on without letting his kindred know where he had hid the money. So anyone listening to this parable will probably think, what are the odds of that? But that's exactly the absurdity anyone hearing Jesus would have thought to themselves too. God, so good? So heng meh? It's not even like striking the lottery. It's more like we picked up a piece of paper that happened to be the winning numbers of the prize pot of millions of dollars. The deal was too good to be true. But for that man, it was indeed true. How do we know? From that one glimpse of the treasure that he found, he knew that this was going to be his prize pool. He also knew that it did not belong to him. This explains why the man buried the treasure so that no one would know about the true value of that land. And in purchasing that land, did the man now have legal ownership? Had he revealed that the land was filled with treasure, he runs the risk of robbers coming in the middle of night to steal. Or the current landowner would have sold him the price at a much higher price. And the same is it with the second parable. Almost as if the parables were parallel. Instead of underground treasure, we are told that a merchant finds one pearl of great value. Of course, the merchant knows his stuff. Why else would a professional make such a drastic move to sell off all that he has for that one pearl? He must have seen it, validated it, confirmed its authenticity, and the merchant then recognized the intrinsic value of that pearl. So, what do these treasures tell us about the kingdom of heaven? What was the point that Jesus is trying to make with these two seemingly similar parables? It tells us that God's kingdom is so valuable that it is worth giving up all your earthly possessions to possess. Its immense wealth and value is nothing in comparison to what we already have and own. And this is congruent with Jesus' experience with the people that he calls to follow him. For instance, we know of this rich young ruler who came to him and wanted to inherit eternal life. Jesus' final challenge for him was to sell all that he had, distribute it to the poor, and follow Jesus. In that episode, we are told that the young man was downcast and walked away, for his wealth was too great. The young man was blinded by his earthly treasures and was not able to receive treasures from God. It is important to note that the treasure here does not refer to our salvation. And for those of you who are new to Christianity, one key belief that we Christians have is that we are saved by our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross to save us. This is why we call him our Savior, because we recognize that we rightfully deserve to die because of our sin. In this teaching of salvation, we also believe that salvation cannot be earned or bought, which is why the treasure in these two parables are likely not directly referring to salvation. But yet, at the same time, it does refer to the eternal kingdom of God. The treasure is the kingdom itself. But what makes the kingdom so valuable? It is not because this kingdom is located in a prime location near an MRT, or that it has this nice sea view that will be worth millions of dollars. The value of this kingdom is entirely made valuable by the king who rules it. John Piper says, and I quote, It's not hard to see why that it's so valuable. If the omnipotent, all-wise God is ruling over all things for you, for your joy, everything must be working for your good. No matter how painful, in the end, God will triumph over all evil and all pain. So this kingdom is treasure. The kingdom of God is the treasure because of the king who rules it. The best way I know how to help us understand this is through this show that Melanie introduced to me a few years ago. It's called Shark Tank. Have you all watched the show? It's quite interesting. It's an interesting show that showcases entrepreneurs, usually young entrepreneurs, who pitch their sales talk to a bunch of investors. Very experienced investors who own multi-million dollar industries. And in the show, these investors are called sharks. A typical pitch will usually start with someone with salesmanship about their product. Someone who introduces his backstory and the company as to why they need the help of these shark investors to help boost their company's value. And almost always, if you have watched the show before, these entrepreneurs will choose the shark that he or she believes would bring value to their company, because the shark himself or herself will add credibility to their brand. The shark or the investor or the person makes the company valuable. This example has its limitations, but I hope it helps us understand that this is what makes the kingdom of God valuable. It is because Jesus is that king in this kingdom. So who gets this treasure? In the parable, we are told that the first man just stumbled upon this treasure. This likely means that the man was not even looking for the treasure, but happened to chance upon it. This is unlike the second man, who was a merchant, whom we are told was searching for a valuable pearl. Many commentators believe that these two reflected the realities of those who stumbled onto Jesus and those who were actually seeking. Here, Jesus is reaching out to both the apathetic unbeliever as well as the person who is seeking for spiritual truth. No matter what, Jesus wants people to discover and know about his kingdom. In fact, that is the point of the parables here in the kingdom of God, that it is so valuable that losing everything on earth for that kingdom is a better deal. So whether you are one who chanced upon the kingdom, or if you are one who have been searching all your life for this kingdom, this is the truth. Only the one who recognizes the value and acts upon it gets the treasure. Do note that the kingdom is not for sale, because if it were, none of us could afford it anyway. But it is about treasuring the kingdom more than everything else. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and this is the Beatitudes, Jesus says that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are too poor to afford the kingdom. It is a gift that we can only receive. The point about selling all that we have to follow Jesus is not so much to raise funds for his kingdom. Jesus don't need our money. The point Jesus is making here as to why the two men had to sell all that they had was that they recognized that their earthly currency was worth nothing in comparison to the heavenly treasures that they have just discovered. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, it says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For many years, Matthew chapter 6 has been a very personal text to me. So, for the longest time, I've been pondering to myself, what on earth does Jesus mean when he calls us to store up heaven, store up treasures in heaven? So, when I was this young boy, I imagined God opening a bank account in heaven for me. Almost like how when Noah was born, we opened a bank account to receive the baby bonus. But what is this treasure that God is storing up for me? Then it dawned on me that the economy of God is very different from the economy that you and I live in. Things that are of value here are our assets, our savings, perhaps our investments. And these represent earthly treasures. But in the kingdom of God, we don't earn money, correct? We don't earn money when we help someone to Christ. We don't get commission when we invite someone to Alpha. I realize that in God's economy, they come in the form of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and even gentleness. God is depositing his love, his joy into our account, causing us to be so satisfied with him. And in so doing, these earthly things start to lose their value because we have now tasted and experienced the goodness of our God. For these men in the parable, these people, they received God's joy, a joy so radical that it caused them to give up all their earthly treasures because it seemed so worthless in comparison to the heavenly one. A joy that no moth or rust can destroy. A joy that no thief can come in and steal. And for us today, this treasure is offered to you and to me, anyone and everyone. It includes non-religious people and even persons who have been trying to seek meaning in their life. The offer of the kingdom of heaven is given to anyone who hears it. But it remains only an offer unless we accept it. You cannot possibly enjoy the company benefits or the monthly income from your company unless you accept the offer that is extended to you. So some of you seated right here today, you may have heard of Jesus Christ. You may have well attended church before. Some of you might be like the first man who stumbled into church service today because someone else asked you to come. Or perhaps some of you are like the merchant who is searching for that one solid and compelling reason to make sure that Christianity be your belief. Today, would you take up the offer that Jesus extends to you to be part of his kingdom? And if this is you today, there is a segment later at the end of this sermon in which you can respond to Jesus' offer. Don't worry, later on I will lead and guide you through it later. At this point, I want to take some time to encourage and also exhort some of the brothers and sisters in our church who have been investing their time and their life in the kingdom of God. To those who take your weekday nights to plan and coordinate programs for the people under your charge, thank you. And kudos to the Sunday school teachers who take their own time to invest in the children that were given to them, bringing them out on their own accord. A special thanks to the PA crew who is seated in Zone C, the middle zone, who toil and labor week after week to put the service together, making it possible for people at home as well as for people, you and me here, to understand and to hear God's word being preached. Know that our Heavenly Father sees all that you've done, especially those done in secret. Your reward is great in the kingdom of God. While the world around us may not understand why we serve and why you serve, they might even think you foolish to give up so much of your time to be in church, but not our Heavenly Father. He treasures all that you have done and promises to reward you in due time. You have a secure fixed deposit account in God's kingdom. My final point, so what then do we do with the treasure? In the final parable that Jesus seeks to round up his sermon, in verse 51, he asks his disciples, "Have you understood all these things?" And then the disciples replied, "Yes." You must wonder if they indeed understood Jesus' teaching, for the disciples were quite famous for missing the point most of the time. But what I think is heartening from this discourse is that Jesus is concerned about those that he is discipling. He wants them to understand what he is saying. How I wish they said no. And so, Jesus would have explained the two parables, which is so hard to understand. Here, Jesus breaks from his usual, the kingdom of heaven is like formula, because at this point, he is not describing the kingdom of heaven anymore. Not like he did with the parable of the treasure and the pearl. Instead, he uses a parable about the house owner to describe a scribe who is trained for the kingdom of heaven. What is a scribe? A scribe is a person in Jesus' time who is trained in the Old Testament law. He studies the scripture, familiarizes it with himself constantly so that he'd be able to instruct others in the law. So here, Jesus concludes his seven parables with an eighth parable. He says that every scribe that is trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out treasure, what is new and what is old. Just as any sermon goes, towards the end of that sermon, Jesus, like all of us now, challenges his listeners to an application. And it is no different when Jesus concludes with this final parable. It is important to read this parable in the bigger picture of the entire New Testament. The way Jesus chose to establish his kingdom is unique and unheard of. Instead of selecting religious men and reputable persons from the upper class, Jesus selects 12 common folk, consisting of fishermen, tax collectors, religious zealots, and some disciples we don't even know about. Jesus was training his disciples to share the old and new treasures. They are not to keep the treasures buried in the soil, but they are to tell the world about Jesus, whom the Old Testament speaks so much about, and that Jesus is king in this new kingdom. Jesus expects his disciples to share these treasures with the rest of the world, that they might know him too. So, what are we to do with the treasure that we found? What are we to do with this old concept of Jesus dying on the cross some 2,000 years ago? We are to bring it out to the world in new ways. For the disciples at that point, it meant they had to move out from their hometown to other cities to preach Jesus. No longer was the worship of Yahweh contained in the temple of Jerusalem. But then, slowly it spread to Judea, to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Missionaries throughout history constantly find new ways to bring the gospel to various parts of the world. Some built schools and made them mission schools so that their students who study in them can hear about Jesus. Some built hospitals to care for the sick and needy. And in their care, they hope that their patients experience the love that is from Christ. Some dedicated themselves to art and drew the gospels on the walls of churches so that when people visited the church, they'll be moved by the compelling story of the gospel. And this doesn't end with us. We too, each and every one of us here seated, are called to bring this treasure that we have found to those around us, that they too might have the treasure that we have. And we who possess this great treasure are called to creatively go into the world to help them understand this old truth in new ways. So can I encourage you to perhaps go and think about it? In your CGs, in your friends, even if your whole family, if you're Christian, how are you to share this treasure to God's kingdom of to people who need to hear them? So far, I have covered that this treasure is Jesus, the King in his kingdom, and that in having him, we gain heavenly rewards that are so much more valuable than any of our earthly treasures. Jesus, our treasure, wants to be discovered by you. But you must receive this gift. And only those who respond by receiving Jesus as their King can get the treasure. And finally, with the scribe parable, Jesus calls us to bring this treasure, both old and new, to those around us, bringing an old concept of what Jesus has done in new ways to the world around us. May I offer one last insight that I believe would be the driving force and motivator as to why anyone would find incentive to give up their earthly treasures for heavenly ones. And that it is that we are God's treasure. If we are to be true to the text, Jesus has alluded to the man in the previous parables to be God. This is found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 37. He says, "To the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." So, if Jesus had been the main character in his parables so far, it would make sense that the man who finds the treasure, as well as the merchant who finds the pearl, refers to Jesus himself, who willingly gives up everything he owns to purchase the treasure. So who now is the treasure? It is us. So why give up your earthly treasures for Jesus? Because our heavenly King gave up all that he had to purchase you. You are his treasured possession. Deuteronomy 7 verse 6 says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people of for his treasured possessions out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." In the economy of God, God treasures us and we are his treasured possession. But he also gives himself to us. Jesus is our best treasure. And God invites us to join this kingdom, to join his economy of love where we are his treasure and that he is ours. Does this move you? Does this move you to receive Jesus as your treasure? Does this news compel you to partake in the economy of God, to bring these treasures of God to the far ends of the earth? To those who do not know who Jesus is. In closing, I would like to close with the words of the Apostle Paul, a disciple of Jesus who gave up all that he had for heavenly treasure. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Hear this, people of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing in this world can be more precious and valuable than the treasure of knowing God. It is my hope and my prayer that you will get to experience this joy in finding the treasure as I had. So at this point, I would like to lead those of you who have decided to respond to Jesus' offer. This means that after hearing God's word this morning, you've experienced joy when you heard the word of God. You want to be a Christian, and you want to be part of Jesus' kingdom. Ultimately, you want Jesus as your king. And if this is you this morning, you can repeat after me later when I pray. Can I invite all of us to bow down our heads and give our friends who are here the space for them to respond to God? Repeat after me in your own way. Dear Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I know that I need you in my life. I invite you to come into my life. You are the treasure that I seek. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you had prayed the prayer just now with me, invited Jesus into your life, can I encourage you to let the person who invited you to church today know that you accepted Jesus? We would love to help you navigate and journey with you in this newfound faith of yours. Or if you're here on your own and don't know anyone from our church, connect with us. You can go to our website, connect with us via Instagram or Facebook, or even write an email to us, and one of our friendly pastors will reach out to you. Thank you very much.